The whole course of human history may depend on a change of heart in one solitary and even humble individual. For it is in the solitary mind and soul of the individual that the battle between good and evil is waged and ultimately won or lost. And this week's opening quote comes from M. Scott Peck. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, history is one of the most important things we can examine. You know, a lot of people may disagree with that. They may think, well, what's the point of looking at stuff that happened in the past? But our history, a person's history, is what defines them. You know, your history is what creates your belief system, what creates what you perceive your position in society to be, what creates the nation that you live in via the historical context of how that nation was created, all the stuff that we're given which defines who we are. You know, you may not think that it does, but it does. Now, people's history is everything. When you look at the national pride that you see around the world, the heritage that people cling on to, which they do so because it is this heritage that they believe defines them. But what if this heritage is wrong? You know, because the reality is that we just don't know, and we place so much value on what we are told happened before. We use this to define ourselves and define our actions, but most of it is based on secondhand information that we just cannot confirm. And really, when you look at it, a lot of what we are told our history is has been very much used to divide the masses. You know, divide and conquer is a motto, and it works on so many levels that many people can't see it. But it does, folks, because we've got so many people now that are holding on to racial differences and racial grudges and grudges that are attached to what they believe happened to their ancestors, a lot of which they have no way of confirming, and a lot of which has in fact been fabricated in order to keep the people divided. You know, the historical grudges that people hold on to, things that didn't happen to them, things that apparently happened to their ancestors, but as I said, a lot of these things are taken out of context because a lot of the events were very likely fabricated and did not actually happen the way we were told. You know, personally, I don't believe we've had a history of war and oppression of each other. I think this has been quite a recent introduction to the human experience. And hey, that's just my point of view, but that's what I'm leaning towards, simply through looking at the evidence that I'm finding of the past. But the thing is, history is incredibly important. I mean, this really cannot be overstated because ultimately, we cannot really ever know what we are now if we don't know where we came from. You know, it's like going through your life with amnesia, not remembering anything that happened before today, just suddenly waking up and thinking, well, who am I? How did I get here? Yeah, that's kind of how we are collectively because of our lack of knowledge about what's come before. You know, we're given all sorts of concepts of what history was and what history is, but there's been so much information come to the surface recently to indicate that all of this has been fabricated that it really does become quite sobering when one looks at what the possibilities are and just how much we've been lied to about what really happened and what brought us to this point. And there really is no question that most of our history has been fabricated, folks. I mean, look at the words of Napoleon. That was a nice quote when he said, history is a lie agreed upon. And, you know, we hear that and we think, oh, yeah, history is written by the winners. We know it's all a lie agreed upon. But how deep does the lie go? And how really, truly profound is this lie, folks? That's the question. Because some of the stuff that we're told happened and some of the stuff that exists from the past simply can't have happened the way we were told it did. And some of the artwork, some of the sculptures, some of the incredible stuff that's been left behind from past generations, and we're just told, oh, they were just master craftsmen. But some of the stuff is virtually impossible, folks. Some of the statues that you see in places such as Florence in Italy, and in the Basilica and in all sorts of places, folks. There's statues and carvings that are simply impossible for us to have created. The paintings of Leonardo da Vinci are impossible for someone to have painted as well. I mean, I've gone through this before. The fact that Leonardo da Vinci's paintings actually cannot be painted because the paint is too thin. You can't actually get that many colours onto a canvas and have the paint remain that thin. It's only 2 microns thick. We can't even laser print colour at 2 microns thick. And yet Leonardo da Vinci was able to create these incredible works of art on silk, no less. Many of his paintings are actually painted on silk, and the paint on the silk is only 2 microns thick. This is just impossible, folks. But there's sculptures as well, which simply seem impossible for anyone to have carved. I mean, statues carved out of marble. Marble's a very hard stone, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to carve it with a hammer and chisel. And yet some of the delicateness of some of these carvings, I mean, how would you do this with a hammer and chisel? And why would you go to the trouble of creating that much detail using a hammer and chisel, knowing that you could completely smash and destroy everything you've done with the next hammer stroke? I mean, no room for error whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen. One particular carving of a fisherman with a net, with an angel there. I mean, this is a man with a net draped around him, and every single strand of the net, every knot tied in the net has been chiseled and carved out. I mean, why would you do this? Why would you go to all the trouble of creating all of that detail on the rope, knowing that every hammer stroke you could actually break the entire thing? I mean, like I said, folks, no room for error. And it's not just that one statue either, folks. I mean, there are so many of these statues, women wearing veils, draped in veils, roses, bunches of flowers, all sorts of some of the most delicate things you can imagine, all carved in hard marble. You just really got to question how this was ever possible. And why would you go to all that trouble, but how would it be done? I mean, how could someone actually carve a statue such as the fisherman holding the net? You know, you got a body beneath the net. It's just impossible to think that someone could have carved this. And you start to question whether perhaps these statues were the result of some form of 3D printing that was able to use marble as a medium to achieve that printing. Were they able to 3D print in stone in the old days, folks? Did that technology exist? And there was something that I discussed in my book back in 2005, a particular plant that Percy Fawcett talked about that was found in the Amazon that the Native Americans used to soften stone. And this was a plant extract, some form of crimson plant that they used to soften the stones, which is very likely how they built the walls in places such as Sacsayhuaman and Ollantaytambo in Peru. So was this particular substance also used to soften marble for 3D printers? I mean, it's a pretty out there question, but it's one that needs to be asked. We look at some of the temples that you see around the world as well, which suggest that this has happened. Now, temples such as Angkor Wat in Cambodia, this is an amazing place, folks. Geometrically perfect. And it's not just the original temple, not just the central temple of Angkor Wat as well. There's a whole complex which stretches out from Angkor Wat. And when you look at it, this is geometrically perfect, all of this carving, and almost every brick, almost every stone in the Angkor Wat complex is incredibly carved and uniformly carved and detailed carvings to the extent that it must have taken thousands of years to construct this place, unless perhaps it was the result of some form of 3D printing. You know, we can 3D print buildings now, and we are becoming very aware that the technology that the ancients had far surpassed the technology we've got now. So is it so incomprehensible to conceive that a lot of this artwork and a lot of these statues and a lot of these buildings were actually the result of 3D printing? Or if not 3D printing, then almost certainly the result of some form of lost technology that we simply don't have today. It may seem a little out there, but when you look at all this stuff, folks, it really can't seem to be explained any other way. And we're talking ancient technology, folks. I mean, the Angkor Wat complex is obviously very old. I mean, I've often said that a lot of the structures that we're seeing, a lot of the old civilizations that we can find traces of, very likely these were civilizations that came into being thousands of years ago, but lasted up until quite recently. Not so with the Angkor Wat complex. That is obviously a civilization that fell into ruin many, many hundreds of years ago, possibly even thousands of years ago. You can tell by the way the jungle has taken over the place. Some of the root systems that have grown down across the top of the structure as well. I mean, seeds that have simply dropped on top of the buildings and grown into trees and wrapped themselves around the complex. It's obviously a very, very old complex. Perhaps it was even part of the Atlantean civilization. And the Atlantean civilization seems to have fallen into decline many thousands of years ago, but then the remnants of that civilization appear to have been who formed the culture that we are now naming as Tartaria. I mean, and even saying that Tartaria is a worldwide culture, or was a worldwide culture, very likely it was the Atlantean culture that was the worldwide culture. As I said, Tartaria was simply the remnants of that culture, and the whole thing fell into ruin some time ago. Well, the original culture of Atlantis fell into ruin anyway. As I said, Tartaria was the remnants. So when it did fall into ruin is another question, but that's another thing that we're looking at, the concept that there are cataclysms that seem to happen quite regularly on this Earth, possibly as regularly as every 200 or 300 years. Now, there are many people who are saying the Earth goes through cycles of cataclysms. I've been saying this myself for many decades, ever since I started researching ancient history. It became apparent to me that there has been a number of cataclysms that have happened on this Earth. But again, I always looked at the timeline as being correct, you know, the historical timeline that we're given. You don't really ever consider that they changed the timeline. Well, not until recently anyway, when it's become quite obvious that they had. And it's also become quite obvious that there was a worldwide culture that existed quite recently on this Earth as well. But the concept that cataclysms happen every couple hundred years is really quite compelling, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. I mean, it's been kind of verified to a large degree by the evidence we're finding of the mud flood that we're finding all around the world. And this is quite compelling, folks, because there is every indication that there are layers upon layers of civilization below what we think civilization to be. And we're finding this all around the world. But also the population figures are very revealing. Even if we take the modern population figures to be correct, which I have often questioned, personally, I don't think there is 7.7 billion people on Earth, but hey, let's say that there is. Let's say that the figures we're given by the mainstream are correct, that they haven't lied to us about this one particular thing. And let's look at the population figures and how long it would take to achieve a figure of 7.7 billion people on the Earth. And compare this to the historical timeline that we're given. I mean, we're told that mankind has been here for thousands of years and that civilization has progressed in a linear fashion. If we look at the population figures that we're given by the mainstream, we're told the population doubles approximately every 63 years. So if we look at the current population of 7.7 billion, what we're told the population is anyway, and we start tracing that back from around now, which we can call 2020 for the sake of ease of mathematics. So if the population doubles every 63 years and there is 7.7 billion people here in circa 2020, then according to that calculation, the population in 1957, 63 years prior to 2020, would have been approximately 3.85 billion. 63 years before that, in 1894, it would have been 1.925 billion. 63 years before that, in 1831, it would have been around 900.6 million. 63 years before that, around about 4.8, that's 1769, and then 63 years before in 1706, around about 2.4 million, in 1643 would have been around 1.2 million, 1580 around about 600,000 people on the entire Earth. In 1580, 600,000 people across the entire Earth. If you believe the current figures, folks. So, even with the current figures that we're given, if humankind has been around for longer than 1,000 years, then there should be 10 times the amount of people on Earth as what there are now. There should be around about 70 billion people on Earth, when really we're told there's only 7.7. But like I said, folks, you can take it back to like 1517, 300,000 people on the Earth, according to current figures in 1517. 1454, just a few over 150,000 people across the entire Earth. And that's according to official mainstream calculations. Think about it. Does that make sense to you folks? Because it sure does not make any sense whatsoever to me. How can there only be 7.7 billion people on the Earth if the current timeline is correct? I mean, sure, I can take into account that there's been wars, there's been Holocaust, you know, 66 million people killed by the Bolshevik Jews and the Russian gulags, millions of people killed in World War One and World War Two, millions of people dying of starvation in Yemen now. I mean, all sorts of stuff going on to decrease the population. But even with these wars and all of these depopulations that we've seen, that are visible depopulations, the figures simply don't add up. And they don't add up no matter which way you look at it. I mean, if you're an evolutionist and you believe that mankind came into being like 26,000 years ago or something, there should be hundreds of billions of people on the Earth now. I mean, it should be a number that's virtually beyond calculation on Earth now. Even if you are a religionist and you believe that man was created 5,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden and we went from there, well, even in that timeline of 5,000 years, there should still be around about 70 to 80 billion people on the Earth now. And that's even taking into account the flood of Noah in the biblically accepted timeline, which places the deluge somewhere between 2300 BC and 4000 BC. So even taking that into account, it still doesn't work. So which way do you want to go? What do you want to believe? Because no matter how you look at it, the figures don't add up. You know, the only way for there to even be 7.7 billion people on Earth now, even if the figures are true, would be if large amounts of people were wiped out in some form of cataclysm that happened sometime in the last 400 or 500 years. And if these cataclysms happen every 200 years, and let's say a third of the world's population is destroyed, or even two-thirds of the world, or even three-quarters of the world's population is destroyed, then that would put us every 200 years back to around about 7 billion people, and it would make perfect sense for the population to be what it is. And it also stands as a reasonable indication that the population of this Earth is wiped out reasonably regularly as possibly every 200 or 300 years. And that's the thing, folks. I mean, you can dismiss all the evidence of the mud flood. You can dismiss all of the speculation about cataclysms and how this happens and anything like that. But really, all you've got to do if you want to discover the timeline is look at the population figures, because if the population doubles every 63 years, then there's no way the world should have 7.7 billion people on it now. No matter what the timeline is, this number doesn't work. But if this is true and there are regular cataclysms that happen, the obvious question, of course, is what causes them. And again, in this matter, all we can really do is speculate. I mean, there's all sorts of theories that have been put forth. You know, crustal shifts, plasma events, all sorts of things. I mean, they could be natural. They could be something that is constructed and man-made. It could be done with frequency and energy weapons. Something else that I've discussed recently on the show is the fact that the world seems to have been repopulated with children around about the late 1800s, and there's a possibility that this happens quite regularly as well. You know, you might recall that recently I discussed the orphan trains, the foundlings that were shipped out around the world circa 1880, and this is really profound when this sinks in, just the amount of children that were trafficked around the world at that time, folks. And I mentioned that on a show quite recently, entitled History is a Lie We've Been Set Up, and that show had the features limited by YouTube very quickly, and my computer was hacked straight after releasing that show, so that kind of made me think I was on the right path with that. But when it really sinks in, the amount of children that were trafficked at that time, and the concept of the mud flood, then things begin to make sense. And another question that I asked during that previous show was, why are most of the forests on the world only around about 200 years old? Most of the main forests on Earth, most of the trees on the Earth, aren't any older than 200 years. I mean, there's little sections that are, but most of the forests, even the Amazon, is only 200 years old. So what happened to the trees before that time? And what were the foundlings and the orphan trains really all about? You know, repopulating the world with children, it's really a bizarre concept. And you'd question where these children come from. Well, very likely they come from the underground bases that we all know exist all over the earth. And you can look at stories such as the Pied Piper of Hamelin. You know, this story, this legend of the children being stolen from this town in Germany. If you go to Hamelin, I think I've mentioned to you before, you actually go and talk to the people there, they'll tell you that it's based on a true event. There was a time in history when all the children were stolen. And look at the story. The story relates to someone stealing the children and taking them underground. Perhaps that's what's happening to many of the kids that go missing now. And perhaps they are getting ready for a new reset. Again, whether these resets happen naturally, whether they are brought about deliberately, is another question. And in order to understand this question, we really do need to take a really strong, hard look at this earth that we live upon, this realm that we live in. What is this place? And are we being manipulated in what we think this place is? Is there other forces at work here that people are not aware of? I mean, as I've very often said, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a people farm. The people of this earth are being farmed. They just don't realize it. It's just a really, really big farm, and there's no real fences that you can see, so it doesn't look like you're living on a farm, but you are living on a people farm. Mankind is being farmed. And I've often speculated on the fact that they're very likely hiding land beyond the poles. You look at things such as the Diary of Admiral Byrd, where he talks about there being land beyond the poles. You look at the fact that there's a 48-nation agreement that we don't go to the poles. I mean, there's a lot of agreements to keep us away from this place and both the poles. You've got to wonder why. And no, folks, by saying this, I'm not suggesting the earth is flat, as many people have done. I don't particularly know what this realm is that we live in. And I frankly don't support either the globe model we're given or the flat model that we're given. I don't support either of them. I think there's something even larger going on that people aren't really looking at. And I won't speculate on what that may be. I'll wait till I have evidence whereby I can support my claims, but I will just speculate that I think a lot of people are, when going into the flat earth movement, are simply jumping out of one box and jumping into another. I think there's a bigger picture that many of these people are failing to see. But again, that's another story. But suffice to say that I would suggest there is far more going on this earth than what people would readily believe. Thankfully, the information about Tartaria is getting out to a lot of people now. A lot of people seem to have picked up on this information. You'll find YouTube clips all over the place sharing this information. But of course, a lot of it is, again, speculation. A lot of people are putting their two cents in there and they're not really investigating things properly. They're putting out their idea of what could have happened. But again, too many people are claiming fact on theory, you know, and we don't know. And we really need to remain objective when looking at all of this information and be very careful about stating fact on whatever theories that we're coming up with. You know, all we really know is that history is wrong. We know that there was this worldwide culture that existed because we can see the architecture all around the world. We know that the wars that have been fought recently have been fought under false pretenses. Most likely they were all wars to bring about the destruction of Tartaria, which we think probably happened around about 1600. And that was when the initial war broke out. I mean, something happened around about 1,000 years ago to 1,200 years ago, I would say. But then there's every indication that there's been events that have happened every 200 years or so since around about the 14 or 1600s. The question is, what were those events and who was involved? I mean, we know Tartaria was involved naturally because it's gone. It's been expunged in the history books. It's very likely Khazaria was involved, and Khazaria seems to be a country that has been pushed out of the limelight completely with a lot of this Tartaria investigation. There's been even people claiming that Kiev was a Tartarian city when very likely it wasn't. It was very likely a Khazarian city. In fact, one of the battles from the past may well have been a battle between Moscow and Kiev. I mean, with Moscow being a Tartarian city and Kiev being a Khazarian city. But again, we just don't know, ladies and gentlemen. Well, one thing we do know, I mean, the Bolsheviks, we know that Bolshevism happened, and Bolshevism was very likely the remnants of the destruction of Tartaria, the last remnants of the place being wiped out. And we know the Bolsheviks were the Khazar ends, and we know the Bolsheviks are who is in control of Israel today and who has infiltrated most of our governments. I mean, just the fact that most people don't know about Bolshevism shows just how much they are in control of the world today, folks. Because, you know, we hear about Holocausts and we hear about mass murders and mass slaughters all the time, but we don't ever hear about the mass slaughter of Bolshevism. And the mass slaughters that happened during Bolshevism were some of the worst in Earth's entire recorded history that we know of. And the fact that we don't hear about it is a very good indication of who is running the world today, because this was not very long ago, folks. I mean, Bolshevism was only a couple of hundred years ago, and not many people know about it. So that shows who is in control of the world's media, folks. I mean, just the fact that people don't know about this, the fact that it's been expunged from history so effectively, is a very good indication of who's controlling things now. And you might doubt that, folks, but the media loves this sort of stuff. The media loves blood and gore and death and destruction. I mean, we're hearing stuff about the Holocaust in the newspapers and on TV almost daily every week. I mean, look what they've just done to Michael Jackson, hang him out to dry. The media loves all that sort of stuff. If they can get dirt on someone and tell you about all these terrible atrocities, they absolutely love to push that into the face of the people. And here we have Bolshevism, the brutal slaughter of 66 million Christians in a variety of some of the most creative ways you can think of, but nobody knows about it. Why? Because the atrocities were carried out by Jews, and so we don't hear about it. We get accused of being anti-Semitic if we even talk about it. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But just that fact, folks, I mean, that fact alone, I mean, like I said, the media loves this stuff. The media thrives on death and blood and gore, and they love to put it into the face of the public at every opportunity. The fact that they're not doing it with Bolshevism shows that they really don't want people to know about it, because they are the ones who are in control of the world today. And if people really realize the danger that they are in from the people who have styled themselves as leaders of the world today, well, I think these people would be deposed very quickly. And that's, of course, why the media never tells you what's going on and never gives you the real story, and why we never really hear the truth about our politicians, folks. The fact of the matter is that they're all criminals, every last one of them. And all we see from our political arena is theatre for the masses, just to keep the people entertained and contained. But anyway, folks, I think we have reached break time here, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so a lot of the stuff that's been discussed on recent shows, I mean, after presenting all this information to people, there should be no doubt in anybody's mind that so much of our history is wrong. It's been fabricated. There's so much stuff going on that we simply don't know about. We simply cannot explain by the modern academic version of things. And, you know, we just can't find the answers there. You know, stuff that I've looked at, you know, the catacombs beneath Paris with 6 million bodies buried there in just that 2 kilometer section, that we're told was because they relocated the cemeteries. I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all. You know, people buried underground, millions of bodies buried underground, all stacked, femurs and skulls, all doesn't make sense. The foundling trains, the enormous amount of children that were trafficked around the world, circa 1880. All of this architecture we've found all around the world, which is all connected. The mud flood that we've found all around the world, which is everywhere, which shows that there has been layers of civilization beneath what we believe civilization to be. And again, you know, you look at places such as Sydney, look at some of the buildings there that are constructed in 1820, and try to reconcile yourself with the fact that Captain Cook came out here with a bunch of convicts, and somehow these convicts managed to dig these quarries and quarry all these stones and build all of this incredible Gothic architecture within 32 years of colonizing the country. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, folks. Some of the stories we've seen of buildings, one building that was apparently built in 53 days and then they knocked it down again. You know, the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, that they just built all those buildings and then decided to knock them down again. I mean, none of this stuff makes any sense, folks. Everything that we can find around the world tells us that history is different to what we've been told. And earlier I mentioned the fact that Moscow is very likely a Tartarian city as well. This is interesting as well, because as we know, the flag for Tartaria used to be a griffin, and there is every suggestion that one of the Napoleonic Wars, the 1812 War, that we're told was fought between Napoleon and Alexander I of Russia probably wasn't. It was probably fought by Napoleon and Alexander against Moscow, which was a Tartarian city at the time. Interesting thing is that the Moscow coat of arms, which was created in 1880, which fits the timeline very well, actually shows a griffin being slain by an Orthodox knight. Interesting for that to be the Moscow coat of arms when we're saying that, well, Tartarian's flag was a griffin, and they were destroyed in the early 1800s. And there we have the Moscow coat of arms created in 1880, which very much suggests that that scenario is completely true. But it's not really just that, folks. I mean, it's just people opening their eyes and looking at what's around them. I mean, all you've really got to do is open your eyes and look at the world, and as soon as you do, you really begin to realize that nothing makes any sense at all. None of it makes sense. None of our societies or civilization makes sense. Not if the current timeline is correct. Not if the timeline we're given is correct. None of this stuff makes sense. I mean, look at the buildings that we have in the world today, folks. How do we build this stuff? A friend of mine sent me some great pictures of lighthouses the other day, and that's an interesting question as well. How do we build these places? I mean, some of these lighthouses are in the most precarious positions. How do we get machinery out there? How do we ever set up a construction team to ever build these places sitting out there in the middle of the ocean on some desolate piece of rock? I mean, some of the places are so dangerous that people don't even want to go and live there. So how did they manage to build them? I mean, they didn't do it overnight, folks. They didn't just go there in a day and throw up a lighthouse. I mean, these things would have taken months to build. So who did that? How did they have the technology to do that to begin with? It's an interesting question. And it is, folks. It really is. I mean, go and find yourself a desolate rock in some out-of-the-way place in some avant-garde coastline and see if you can find yourself a contractor to go and build a lighthouse there using modern technology. See who you could find to do that and see who could actually do that using the technology we've got now. I mean, how did they ever build these things to begin with? You know, even when you look at the architecture, look at some of the ancient buildings, look at the churches and cathedrals, some of the Gothic architecture through Europe, even some of the Gothic architecture we find in our own cities, here in Australia, in New York, in LA, in San Francisco, all around the world. You know, how did we ever build any of these things? And if mankind has actually gone through this linear timeline, and we're supposed to be improving all the way through it, how did we lose all of this knowledge? Look at our buildings now. They're bland, lifeless, meaningless structures. Back then, we used to build stuff artistically, and we simply don't have the skill to do it anymore. You know, mankind has been progressively dumbed down with each generation. We've become more and more stupid. More and more stupid simply because we've lost all of the skills of life that we had. More stupid because we've become more and more disconnected from nature, and so we've lost the innate abilities that we're supposed to have. You know, the magic that we once possessed. We've lost all of our artistic expression. We've lost our ability to do some of the incredible things that we used to do in the past. And really, what was the past, folks? I mean, we know that there was civilizations that were far surpassing ours. It's become more than abundantly clear that there was free energy in the past, and all of our societies ran on ethereal energy, which is the mirror opposite of what we're using now. There's every suggestion that there were giants in these civilizations as well. I mean, why are some of these buildings so big and so huge and the doorways so big? Now, we know giants existed. We have plenty of photographs of giants around the place, giants that have existed till quite recently. And yet we don't see them anymore. You know, we did see them 100 years ago. There were a number of quite large people around the place. We just don't see these people anymore. So what happened? Now, were these people just freaks of nature, or were they remnants of another race that was once here that was destroyed before the last cataclysm, or destroyed by the last cataclysm, and we simply haven't been made aware of it because we haven't had the education that would make us aware of it? And that's the thing, folks. People only believe what they are told is true by the education institutions. Now, if academia tells you it isn't true, then you just don't believe it. And all they have to do is leave it out. But we don't hear about giants. We don't hear about any of this ancient architecture. We don't have any of this stuff discussed at school these days. All they do at school is prepare you to be a usable victim for a military-industrial complex that needs manpower. That's all they do. They give you just enough information to give you the ability to be able to follow orders and not really think about too much, because if you really do start thinking, then you're not going to fit in with society and you're going to become incredibly disturbed by some of the things you see around you. So they don't teach you that stuff. They don't teach you how to think. I mean, if they did teach people how to think, people wouldn't be going for higher education to begin with, because they spend all this money. They get in this incredible amount of debt. They get student loans and all sorts of stuff to get an education in some degree that there's no job for when they finish the degree. So they end up spending their life with thousands upon thousands of debt getting a degree for a job that doesn't exist. It's ridiculous, folks. So they don't teach you how to think. They teach you how to comply. That's what the education system is all about. But really, it's all about control, folks. That's what it's all about. And really, that's what the awakening is people waking up to the control that they're under. I mean, when we talk of the awakening, it isn't that people are becoming enlightened and becoming aware of what the world really is, because none of us know what this world really is. We simply don't have access to the information to be able to form a valid opinion of what it is. All we know is what it isn't, and what it isn't is what we're being told. That is very obvious, and it's becoming more and more obvious by the day. And so that is the awakening that we can help with people, just waking up to the fact that they've been lied to on every single count and that the education system is not telling them the truth. The whole business system is designed to just keep them running on the treadmill, keep them doing all this meaningless stuff so they don't ever have time to look around them and notice what's going on. That's what the whole business and entertainment system is designed to do, all this sports, all this rubbish that we're fed, just so we don't pay attention to what's happening around us. But when you do start paying attention, you realize that, as I said, folks, we're living in a people farm. Mankind is being farmed. The question is, who's doing the farming and what is really going on here? What is this place that we live in? You know, the thing that frustrates me the most through all of this is that people can't see that what really constrains them is a prison for their mind, exactly like what was said in the Matrix movie. You know, it's a prison for your mind, your belief in authority, your belief that government is real and that these people can dictate what you can or cannot do is the entirety of the problem that we're facing today. You know, people's refusal to see the power in themselves, their willingness to blame everybody else around them for their predicament, the racial grudges, the historical grudges, the tension that we hold on to, which is not our own, stuff that has been programmed into us, all of this stuff is what creates the situation that we're in. You know, I've often said if people could just stop for 5 minutes, just put their stuff down with everybody, just stop and look around them for 5 minutes, we could change the world in a day. We really could, folks, you know. We could get to the bottom of all of these mysteries if people would simply allow themselves to think outside the box and allow themselves to put it all on the table and stop forming opinions about it. You know, like, this is where we've fallen apart with the whole division that's been created through the globers and the flatters. The fact that everybody's trying to deal with slavery, but everyone's got an opinion on what they believe. And the reality of the matter is that they don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what this realm is. Nobody knows what our history is. And everyone's allowing their belief systems to get in the way. They're not honoring the past. They're not honoring what came before us and who came before us. And they're not allowing things to simply unfold the way they should. Now, even when I've been attempting to look into the history of the white race, the amount of racism that I've experienced for even daring to do so, because you cannot say anything about white people that's positive. If you do, you're a racist. That's the programming that people have gotten into. You know, and I think there's a reason for this, folks. I really think that there's a reason the white people are being stamped out. They're being vilified, you know. The only people you can say bad stuff about is white people. If you say anything bad against any other race, you consider it a racist, but it doesn't matter what you say about white people, it's not considered to be racist because the white people are to blame for everything, so we're told. So obviously we're not to blame for everything because the blame's been put there. You cover up the fact. It's like what they've just done with Michael Jackson, folks. I mean, Michael Jackson was tried, he was found innocent before he died, and then after he died, now they found him guilty. They're pulling all his statues down, banning all his music and all this stuff. Why are they doing that now? They're doing that to shine the light away from themselves, because there's been a huge amount of pedophilia revealed that's been going on in Hollywood, in the movie industry, in the political industries, in the education facilities, in churches, all over the place. We're seeing all this rampant pedophilia, so they've got to shine the light on someone like Michael Jackson so that you don't look at them. This is the reason they've hung out Cardinal Pell here in Australia. They've hung this guy out to dry because they can put all the attention on him and say, look, we're fixing the problem. We're actually standing up against the church. We're doing all these things. We're leading the way because it shines the light away from their own criminality. The whole Australian government is in a state of disrepair at the moment. The whole Australian government has been caught out as being completely and utterly invalid. There's actually been papers filed to the Privy Council in England. And the Australian government, the entire Australian government, every politician, every judge, every lawyer, every police officer is currently acting in treason and actually may end up being sacked by the Australian people as soon as even May or June or July, because the entire Australian government is invalid, has been invalid since 1986, and it goes back beyond that. But that would show exactly why they are shining the light on Cardinal Pell at the moment, to draw attention away from themselves. And it's the same with this whole Michael Jackson thing. It's the media attempting to draw attention away from themselves, and they do it with everything, folks. So what you really need to be doing while all of this Cardinal Pell and Michael Jackson stuff is going on is looking what else is going on behind the scenes. As I said, here in Australia, the Australian government is in a state of disarray. The entire Australian government has been caught out as being invalid, so of course they're trying to shine the light on Cardinal Pell so nobody will look at what they're doing. And as I said, with the amount of pedophilia that's just been uncovered in the United States, it's no wonder they're hanging someone like Michael Jackson out to dry. Because, I mean, he's a pop star, folks. The media will go into a frenzy over this, and so will the people. They love to see a pop star fall from grace. People are just so fickle, and they'll do anything other than look at the actual workings of the mechanism, because were they to do that, it would be far too shocking for most of them. But what's happening beneath all of this, of course, folks, is the Internet of Things, 5G, all the stuff that we've been talking about for the last year or two. It's all coming online beneath the surface while all of this stuff is going on to distract people. You know, and really when you look at it, as I said before, we used to have free energy, we used to have ethereal energy, and really what this whole AI system that has been created is doing is it's creating a mirror reflection of what we should be. Now, as I've often said, we have become so divorced from nature through all of our actions, and now this AI system is creating almost an anti-nature for us, a virtual reality for us. Now, we're already half in virtual reality because we've created a digital barrier between us and reality and nature around us through the access that we have to grant ourselves to do the most basic of things now. But when you bring it down to the concept of energy and what energy is, the fact that you are an energy being, we are all energy beings, you know, we are electromagnetic expressions of consciousness is really what we are. And the ethereal energy that exists all around us is very natural to us. It's a natural energy and energy that we are actually made of, that we are part of. The electricity that we're using now, this explosive type of electricity we're using, is a mirror opposite of that ethereal energy. And the reality, the AI anti-nature reality that is being created, is a mirror opposite of the natural reality that we live in. And that's what this AI is doing. It's creating a virtual world, which is a mirror opposite of what the world should be. And we are being led into that. This is why people are becoming so willing to give up their humanity, give up their gender, for God's sake. I mean, people are becoming gender confused because the government is promoting gender confusion. I mean, there's only two genders, folks. That's the way it is. You may be gay, you may be this, you may be that, you may have certain type of sexual preferences, but this doesn't change your gender. Your gender is determined by what is between your legs, folks. That's the way it is. Now, this gender confusion is all about helping mankind remove themselves from their own sexuality and become more agreeable with merging themselves with machine. Because once you merge yourself with machine, there is no sexuality. There is no sexual pleasure for a machine. It becomes irrelevant. This is why sex is being so vilified and so outlawed, and they're saying we shouldn't over-sexualize things, and we don't want women to look too sexy, we don't want men to look too sexy. We want everything to be androgynous. There's even a new genderless voice coming out, apparently, for Siri or Alexa or whatever. I mean, I don't know, some ridiculous thing. They don't want it to sound like a male, they don't want it to sound like a female, because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, if you don't want to offend anybody, why don't you just refer to humans as being humans and stop trying to pretend that there's more than two genders and stop trying to turn the world into a genderless world? That way you won't offend anybody. I mean, what they're promoting in people's minds, it's downright dangerous, folks, and it all leads towards depopulation. But, you know, we can look at all this stuff as adults, we can look at this stuff and we can think, wow, this is pretty weird, pretty sick stuff. But when you think this is what the kids are growing up into and they're being trained to think that this is normal behavior, they're being trained to think that this is normal thinking. And it's not normal thinking. It's creating gender confusion, which is essentially child abuse. I mean, these schools, these safe schools is what they're calling them, schools that are teaching gender fluidity, these schools are indulging in psychological abuse of children by promoting gender confusion. And this is all being promoted by government. This is how bad our education system and government system has become, folks. So, now we've got to look at this, and we've got to look at where we're being led, and we need to realize just how many things are being laid out before us to keep us distracted from what is happening all around us. You know, it's time we wake up to ourselves, folks. It's time we wake up to the fact that we are being played by this system. We're being played by government. And a lot of the people in there don't even know what they're doing. You know, the people like Tom Wheeler and all these people that are pushing 5G and pushing this whole Internet of Things out, they're doing so because they're greedy people. They think money's real. They think that they're going to be sitting on the top of the pile with billions of dollars and the whole world's going to be their oyster at that point. They don't realize that it's just this big game and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. You're still in a prison. That's just the way it is. So, you know, you can't really blame a lot of the people that are doing it because they're confused. They've got blinkers on. They're doing what they're programmed to do. What we have to do is realize what the solution is. And the solution is for us to step away from the system, us to realize just how much we're being played. You know, as I've often said, folks, if people could just sit back for 5 minutes and really look at things, just look at themselves and look at the world, look at the people around them, you know, we could quite literally change the world in a day. And I think we're getting to the point that it's becoming necessary to do that. I mean, it is. People can see it now. This is what the awakening is. Like I said, the awakening is people waking up to the fact that they're under control, but they get to that point and they don't know what to do about it. They think there has to be this movement launched or some big thing that's going to come along and save them. Some knight on a white charger is going to come riding into the scene and he's going to say, well, I'm going to take the world this direction now and all we have to do is follow him and it's all going to be good. It's not about that. It's about us discovering ourselves. And the moment we do that, we can step away from this system in mass. We can simply say, no, we're not going to do this anymore, because the whole thing is a fiction anyway. Now, the whole concept of authority is a fiction. Even the stuff that we're looking at with the Australian government being invalid and submissions to the Privy Council and all this sort of stuff, I mean, it's all very well, but it's all fiction anyway. none of it really means anything. It's all just fiction. Anything they wrote down on paper is just fiction, folks. It doesn't really mean anything. You know, it's us that's important. It's our magic. It's our connection to the world, our connection to nature, our connection to each other. That's what's important. You know, and it's realizing that we don't know. You know, all the research that we've done, the years and years of research that I've done, I've had to rethink everything recently. I absolutely have, folks, because history is wrong. Everything that I thought was true is not true. The world is a very different place to what we believe it is. And the fact of the matter is that nobody knows what the world is. But one thing we can confirm is that we're living in a people farm. Whatever shape or form that takes, we'll find out one day. But we have to stop arguing about it. And we have to really be prepared to look at things with an open mind. You know, get out of these belief systems, folks. Get out of these little boxes that you've constructed for yourselves. Start respecting people around you and just let the cards fall on the table and land where they may. Stop cross-pollinating information. Stop basing things on your belief system. And just realize that nobody actually knows what's going on. Allow others to think differently and realize the incredible opportunity we have now with all of this information coming to the surface. Now, there's so much stuff coming to the surface, folks, and we have a huge opportunity for human freedom. If we can just, as I said, allow the cards to fall where they may, put our belief systems down, respect people, respect each other, stop making claims on what we believe is true, and just let's see what is true. Because the truth has a way of revealing itself, folks. You can only keep secrets for so long. Things can only remain covered up for so long. And if we can just put our belief systems aside, then the truth will offer itself to us. Now, and you've got to be prepared to just let that happen. Don't allow your belief system to get in the way. Just let things fall where they will and just go with the flow. You know, I think that if we can do that, we are at a pivotal time in human history. We really are. I mean, I think there's been a lot of pivotal times, but I think we are at one of those points now. Something big is on the horizon, folks, and it's all going to depend on our attitude through this change. So, you really, let's start looking at things, folks. Let's open up doors to each other. Let's respect each other's research. Let's put it all on the table. Let's not choose to believe anything, and let's just see what happens. Now's the time that we have to get really stuck into doing the good work that needs to be done. We owe it to our children to do this, folks. We owe it to those who are going to come after us to honor this moment and give it the attention that it needs. And once again, we have reached that time where it is now the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry I didn't get to bring you a show last week. I've just been going through a lot of stuff since I've been home here. Had a lot of stuff to deal with, and I just didn't get time to bring you a radio show last week. I'll try to get them a little bit more regular for you, though. But thank you for bearing with me through what time I do have off, folks. I don't get very much time off, folks. I mean, this is kind of a full-time occupation doing this work. You kind of do it from when you get up in the morning until when you go to bed at night. So even if I'm not on air, I'm still working. I mean, it just all ends up in the same place. But I'm sorry I didn't get to bring you a show last week. Thank you to all the supportive emails that you continue to send me as well. I will attempt to get some time to answer some of these emails this year. This is one of the reasons why I don't want to have too much travel this year. I really want to have some time off. Well, time off travel anyway. But thank you to the many people who send me so many supportive emails. There was a couple of people who ordered t-shirts. If you could just send me your addresses so I can get those t-shirts out to you as well, that would be wonderful. Just saves me having to scan through my emails to try to locate the orders. It would be great if you could just send me those orders again. But again, thank you for the support. Thank you for the kind emails. And of course, thank you to all the people who support me on Patreon. I could not do any of this work were it not for my Patreon supporters. But folks, that is it for me. I do not have any speaking dates planned. There may be one or two coming up. There has been talk of me speaking at a conference in Brisbane or something in April or May or something like that. And there has been talk of me doing a talk around the Byron Bay area sometime as well. So if that happens, I'll keep you posted on when that will be. But apart from that, I can't see myself doing any other talks for the rest of the year unless I end up going and doing the Anarchist Convention in Philadelphia in September, which may happen yet. You never know. But I'll keep you posted on all of that, folks. But that is it for me now. I've completely run out of time. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.